for Bible study and so forth, for fellowship. The church spent $2.1 million purchasing this property and remodeling it in 2001. And then very aggressively, the church began to, in their budget, do all that they could to pay down what we owed for this building. And then every fall, we began to take a special offering. And we asked people to give in the fall to an offering that we called our harvest offering. And we asked people to give over and above their normal giving, their regular ongoing giving, to give a special offering to help us pay off and pay down the debt on this building. Well, last year when our harvest offering came around, we owed about $90,000 still. We'd obviously covered a lot of ground from $2.1 million to $90,000. And the elders and some other leaders began to think about the possibility of maybe paying off our building debt, the debt we had for this building this past year in 2013. And so we began to prepare and to pray and to promote the offering last year. We knew if we did that, it would be one of the largest single offerings that we had received in that way. And so as we prayed, God worked, and God's people gave last year about this same time. And we were able, through the offering and through commitments that were made to give through the end of last year, we were able to pay off the final $90,000 that we owed on this facility. And so today we are debt-free, and we give God thanks for that. Yes, that's an exciting thing and a thing to thank God for. And so when this year turned and we began to think toward this fall, we thought, well, will we do another special offering in the fall? And as the elders thought about that and talked about that among ourselves, we concluded that we should. And so we're going to again today receive another harvest offering. And what we're going to do this year is what we said all along we were hoping to be able to do. And that is, we wanted to pay off the debt that we had on this building and the interest, so we could save money in terms of interest by paying it down as quickly as possible, so that we could redirect funds that we have in our budget, as well as many resources as we could, to take the gospel to people who don't know Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior. And so that's what today is all about. Today, the offering we received, that's called the harvest offering, is about the offering, or excuse me, about the harvest. It's an offering having to do with the harvest that Jesus refers to in the passage that we're going to look at this morning. Matthew chapter 9. I invite you to follow along with me in Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 35. It says, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and all the villages." Now, this is describing a particular season in the ministry of Jesus. And he was going to different cities and different villages. And it says he was teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. Verse 36 continues, "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" The offering today is really about that, about what Jesus was talking about here in this text, the special offering that we're taking at the same time that we normally have taken this special offering is really about what Jesus is talking about here. What's Jesus talking about when he says in verse 37, "The harvest is plentiful"? Well, we're told in verse 35 that Jesus was going from place to place. He was going from city to city, from village to village. And in all of those places, he was seeing crowds of people. We know that because in verse 36, he says that he saw the crowds. So in these cities, Jesus was seeing crowds. Jesus would see crowds of people. In these villages, Jesus would see crowds of people. And thinking about what he had seen, all of these crowds of people in these different cities and villages, Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful. He was talking about people. Jesus was talking about people. People that needed to be brought into the kingdom of God. People that needed to have God as their shepherd, but who didn't. And who needed to be gathered in. And today, I want us to think about a few things as we look at this text, and think particularly about the offering today, the special offering that we're receiving. I want us to notice three things about Jesus. First of all, I want you to see what Jesus did. What Jesus did. Look at it again in verse 35. And Jesus went through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. The first thing that I think I see as I think about what this text is saying about Jesus and what he did is Jesus did this. He proclaimed good news. He proclaimed good news. It says he was teaching in their synagogues. That is, in all of these cities and all of these villages that he was traveling among and going from place to place, there were Jewish synagogues in many of those places. And wherever there were synagogues, Jesus would go in on the Sabbath and he would teach. But he not only was teaching in the synagogues, he was also proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom or the good news in those same synagogues and even beyond, I think we can assume, based on what we read in the Gospels about Jesus' ministry, on hillsides and beside lakes and among the crowds on the streets. Jesus was proclaiming good news. He was proclaiming the good news about salvation that's provided through what he would do as the one who had been promised in the Old Testament texts. He was the Messiah. He had come to give his life so that people could be saved, so that people could be forgiven, so that people could be reconciled to God. And he was beginning in the synagogues as he would teach there. He was preaching the good news there as well as everywhere throughout these cities and villages so that people might know about the salvation that he had come to provide. But I want you to notice that Jesus does this, proclaimed good news. He did this in conjunction with and in connection with something else. The end of the verse says he also did this. It says he was healing every disease and every affliction. In other words, he was meeting physical needs that people had. Some people were diseased. And Jesus had miraculous power. And in the power that he had as God the Son, he was healing all of those who he came in contact with who had diseases and others who had afflictions of different kinds. Jesus was meeting the immediate needs that these people had. He was going from city to city and he would see people who were broken physically. People who were crippled, people who were blind, and who had other kinds of afflictions or diseases. And Jesus was healing these diseases. He was healing them. He was meeting their physical needs. He was not only proclaiming good news, but he was also performing good works. Jesus proclaimed good news in these cities and villages, and he performed good works. Now, he was doing this miraculously and in the power of God. And I want us to think about these two things because I think it's important that we keep them together in terms of ministering for Jesus and in Jesus' name. If Jesus in his physical body was doing these two things, if he proclaimed good news, and if he performed good works, we as the church, as his body, his spiritual body now, should be doing something similar. This should really be the essence of what we do as the people of God, as the body of Christ. We should be, yes, proclaiming good news and performing good works. Now, I don't have the power to heal every person that I meet who's sick. I've had lots of people come to me who were sick, and they've asked us to pray. They've asked me to pray, and I've prayed, and sometimes we've seen God answer prayer, and we've seen people who were sick become well. But then there have been other circumstances where that's not been the case. But what I'm suggesting to you in light of what Jesus did in these cities and villages is this. There should always be a combination of these two things in ministry. We proclaim good news, and we perform good works. That is, we meet people where they are. Their physical needs. We do what we can to help people with their immediate needs. And along with that, we also meet their spiritual need, which is their need for salvation, which is proclaimed and found in the good news of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus did these two kinds of things, and we should be doing these kinds of things as His people. Let me tell you how we can be a part of these two kinds of things in Cameroon through the offering that we're going to be receiving today, our harvest offering. A couple of the things we're committed to do if we're able to reach our lowest goal in this offering is this. One, provide some textbooks for Bible and evangelism training for leaders and for rural pastors in Cameroon. Lots of pastors and leaders in the church in Cameroon aren't able to have formal education and go away to seminary. But there are correspondence classes and small groups that meet. And we would be able to provide for a full year textbooks for Bible training and evangelism training and leadership training for these pastors throughout Cameroon through what we will give through this offering. Another thing we'll be able to do and that we're planning to do is to provide education and health support for 1 year to 10 children who've been orphaned in Cameroon by HIV, AIDS, or other diseases or disasters. We'll be able to provide for 10 kids who are orphans for a full year through what we give. And then in addition to that, we'll be also able to provide 5 rounds of chemotherapy treatment for kids in Cameroon who have cancer and who are cancer victims. We've been supporting for a long time a man and his wife in Cameroon who are medical missionaries there. And Dr. Rick Barden said this. He said, I have to render a diagnosis of cancer every single workday, often multiple times every day. And then he continues, it can be very discouraging when I believe they could be helped and funds are not available to do so. So this is a way that we can meet immediate needs, physical needs that people have in Cameroon. Kids who have cancer, kids who've been orphaned by HIV, AIDS. We can provide in this way, along with also equipping pastors who are proclaiming the good news of the gospel in their churches and in their communities throughout Cameroon. That's what Jesus did. Those are the kinds of things that Jesus did, and those are the kinds of things that we hope to be a part of in Cameroon through our harvest offering today. Notice something else in this text. Not only what Jesus did, but notice what Jesus felt. This is really important. Look in verse 36. It says there, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. You see, Jesus did what he did that we read about in verse 35 because he felt what he felt, which is what we read about in verse 36. In other words, as he went to the different cities in this area that's being referred to here, as he went to the different villages in this area that's being referred to here, he saw the crowds and he saw them as harassed and as helpless like sheep without a shepherd, and he was moved with compassion. What did Jesus feel? He felt compassion because of the condition of the crowds. In all of these cities, he saw lots of people. And he knew their true condition. He knew that they were lost, that they were sheep without a shepherd, and that as sheep without God as their shepherd, they were harassed and helpless, and this caused him to be deeply moved. The terminology used here literally refers to the intestines. The idea is this was an emotion and a passion that he felt for the people that he saw that was so deep that you could almost literally feel it in your stomach. That's the kind of compassion and the kind of passion and emotion that Jesus experienced as he went from these different to different cities in this vicinity to all of these villages and saw the people. Let me ask you this morning, how do you react when you see people? What do you think of when you see people? Yesterday I was downtown and was at the new playground that's just recently been opened in front of the Civic Center with our foster boys. And while they were doing some things, I was just sitting on a bench for a while thinking about this text that I would be preaching today, and I started thinking to myself as I saw people harassed, helpless. Harassed, helpless. I just made myself use those two words and say those two things to myself as I watched people. Harassed, helpless. Like sheep without a shepherd. The way Jesus was moved by people is the way we as his people ought to be moved by people. Compassion. Compassion. We have an opportunity through this offering this year to, motivated by compassion, really make a difference in the lives of people. For example, one of the things we'll also be doing with our offering that we received today is covering half the cost of a family with Mission Aviation Fellowship that's going to be relocating to start a new program in Myanmar, which was formerly known as Burma. A new program. And if you don't know anything about Mission Aviation Fellowship, Mission Aviation Fellowship is a group of pilots who are believers who are committed to flying Christian doctors and evangelists and materials and supplies into different parts of the world, particularly remote places that are inaccessible in other ways. We'll be able to help this missionary family that we already support on an ongoing basis with MAF, with Mission Aviation Fellowship, with this relocation and the beginning of a brand new ministry in a brand new place for Mission Aviation Fellowship. Another thing we'll be able to do, and I'm really excited about this, many of you were probably here when Jonathan Reed was here several months ago. He's a missionary that we also support, and his ministry is he has a boat, and on that boat he travels up the Amazon River to access people that can only be accessed through the river. You can't get to these people any other way. Some of these tribes, some of these remote groups that live out among the Amazon jungle and in the Amazon jungle. Well, he has a boat, and sometimes for days and even weeks, he will get in that boat and travel up the Amazon to come in contact with people who've not yet heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, we heard from Jonathan that their boat needs some significant repairs. Actually, about $3,000 worth of repairs have to be done to his motor and to other parts of his boat. And our offering will cover the entire cost of that if we reach the lowest goal that we've set for ourselves of $18,000 through this offering. Motivated by compassion, we should give as God leads us today, because we can be a part. We can be a part of making a difference, getting the gospel to peoples along the Amazon who have never heard the message of Jesus Christ, and bringing Christian witness and evangelists and materials and supplies and doctors in the future into Myanmar where they've never been taken before. Jesus felt compassion, and that should be our motivation as it was Jesus' motivation as he went to these different places preaching the good news and performing good works. Finally, I want you to notice what Jesus said as the chapter ends. What Jesus said. Verse 37 says, "Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" What did he say? In one word, we could put it like this: pray. That's what he says. Jesus feels compassion. because of what he sees as he watches people, as he sees the different people in these different cities and villages. He feels compassion. He does something because of that himself. He preaches the good news and he heals the sick. He performs good works. But then he said something in light of what he felt. He said to his disciples, pray. Pray. And specifically, in verse 37, he tells us why we should pray. He tells these disciples why they should pray. Look at verse 37. The harvest is plentiful. Look at all the people, he's saying in essence. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers, the workers are few. Those who will do the work necessary that God uses to gather people into his kingdom. The workers are few. Those who will preach, those who will serve, those who will share, those who will care and witness. Relatively speaking, there are so few, Jesus would say. In a sense, he was the worker at this particular time, in these particular places. And he realized there was the need for more who would do what he had been doing. And so Jesus says, pray. And he tells us why we should pray. Because the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. And then he tells us how we should pray. He says in the last verse, verse 38, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. That's how we're to pray. We're to pray earnestly and specifically, we're to pray that God would work to thrust out more people into the harvest, into the world, where the peoples are who are lost, who are like sheep without a shepherd, who are harassed and helpless. Pray that God would send out more workers into his harvest field. Another thing we have the opportunity to be a part of this year through this offering is providing help to pastors in Southeast Asia. We have a family that we've been supporting for a long time, and they've recently moved from one part of Southeast Africa to another part of Southeast Africa, and they've asked us not to disclose specifically where they are because it might be a threat to their security as well as their ability to stay there. And so we have this couple. The husband is a seminary professor, and he's been teaching in seminaries in Southeast Asia for years. Well, he's just recently written a book called Toxic Church. And it's a book helping these pastors in Southeast Asia that are able to come to seminary where he teaches. It's a book that will help them in very practical ways when it comes to ministry in their churches and how to handle difficulties and problems that arise in churches, particularly there in Southeast Asia. We can be a part of providing this particular textbook that this particular missionary that we support has recently written that will be used in a class to help these pastors in Southeast Asia be able to handle very practically the problems and issues that arise in their churches. Jesus said, pray. Pray. Pray that there will be more laborers. We can be a part of supporting laborers in Southeast Asia in this way. Men who've sensed God's call to be pastors and to be evangelists in that part of the world. We can help with their training through what we're doing this morning. But you know, while I pray regularly for God to call people out of this church to go overseas as missionaries, as pastors, as evangelists, as student ministry leaders, one of the things that God wants us to realize is that all of us are to be missionaries where we are. We're all supposed to be sent. We're all supposed to see ourselves as having been sent by Jesus into this city, into the communities where we live, into the neighborhoods where we live as witnesses for Christ, into the schools that we attend, into the workplace where we work to share the gospel of Christ. And so my prayer, in light of what Jesus says here, is not just that God would allow us to be a part of helping those who have been sent and who are proclaiming good news and performing good works in Jesus' name. yes. Not only that God would work in this congregation and call out more people from us that we can send to take the gospel and to labor in the harvest overseas, but also that God would send all of us back into our neighborhoods and back into our schools and back into our workplaces this week with a sense that we are called to be witnesses where we are if we're followers of Jesus Christ. And that there are people in our neighborhoods, maybe a next door neighbor, maybe the person that works in the cubicle next to you, maybe a person sitting in the seat next to you at school who is without a shepherd. And God wants you to be a laborer. God wants you to be a witness. God wants to use you if you've put your faith in Christ to make a difference in the lives of people all around you. Let me invite you to bow, please, for a few moments as we continue. And in these moments of quiet before we conclude this morning with an offering, let me just say, first of all, if you are new to our church or newish, if you've been here once or twice and you've not yet filled out a card as a guest, they're in the back. They're in a pocket in front of you on the back of the chairs in front of you. And I'd invite you to go ahead and grab one of those now if you've not already done that as a guest and begin to fill that out so that when the offering plate comes by in just a moment, you'll be able to drop that in there. At the bottom of that card, there's a place where you can indicate if you have interest, maybe in following Christ. Maybe today there's someone here as a guest or as someone who's recently started coming here and you're at the point where you're ready to commit your life to following Christ. Or maybe to be baptized as you've seen the others who were baptized this morning do, to follow Christ and show your faith in Christ through baptism. There's a place you can mark that on the bottom of that card. Also, if you're a regular attender and you want to make a commitment today as you reflect on what God has spoken to you about through His Word, let me encourage you to use that card also and drop it in the offering plate in just a moment as your way of tangibly responding to what you sense God's spoken to you about this morning. There were envelopes also in the bulletin that you received when you came in that you could use for the harvest offering. Everything put in these envelopes and placed in the offering plate today will go to our harvest offering. If you want to give your regular offering today, just put that in the plate apart from this envelope, and whatever you put in the plate apart from this envelope will be considered for our regular offering. Let's pray as the men come forward and as we prepare to worship through giving. Father, thank you that through this offering, through this very special time of giving to the harvest offering, thank you that we can be a part of the harvest that Jesus was speaking about in Matthew 9, 35 through 38, that we can be a part of supporting those that you've already sent and who sent your calling to missions and to ministry. And I pray, Father, that you would help us as we give to be moved by compassion as Jesus was, to care and to tangibly demonstrate that as we pray and as we give in these next few moments. And Lord, I pray for those who are here who maybe have not yet made a commitment to Jesus, who've not yet yielded control of their heart and life to Him. I pray that today there would be one in this place, in these next moments, or maybe even now, who would say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. God, forgive me based upon what Jesus has done. I pray that you would forgive me and that you would help me to begin a new life with you at the center of my life. Maybe during this time of offering, you'll give your offering, the offering of your life, most importantly, to Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. Father, I pray as we give, as we make decisions, as we reflect in these next few moments on what you've spoken to us about through your word, I pray that you would be working. I pray that you would lead us and that you would teach us, that you would convict us, that you would draw us, that you'd motivate us so that we might do in these moments as we reflect and as we give and as we pray, pray that we would do what you want us to do. Father, thank you that many of us today can say, because of Jesus, things are well. Our soul is forgiven. Our soul has been changed and been set free. And yet, Father, remind us as we rejoice in that, that there are people who've not heard. And as we give, help us to keep that in mind and as we pray in these moments. In Jesus' name, amen.